Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, President Michael D. Higgins has paid tribute to the tenacity, courage, determination, resilience, resolve and strength that the pupils and staff of Mulroy College have shown in the months following the Creaslot tragedy. A human rights consultant and Effective Blocks campaigner in Donegal says the impact of mica and other deleterious materials has had a serious impact on the mental health of homeowners and their families. The state bends before the powerful, but steamrolls the voiceless. That's what a South Donegal deputy has told the Dáil. And recommendations to restore rail lines between Donegal and Derry have been included in a new report before government. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Chris Ashmore, followed by Nuked with Colm Ferrisher. First news though, President Michael D. Higgins has today paid tribute to the tenacity, courage, determination, resilience, resolve and strength that the pupils and staff of Mulroy College have shown in the months following the Creaslot tragedy. The President visited the school this morning and he is now due to travel to Derry for a number of engagements. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
Addressing the students of Mulroy College, President Higgins said the Creaslot explosion has changed the paths of your lives in a very real and tangible way. He said for others the changes may be more subtle, but nonetheless profound. However, all of you, he added, are unified in your strength and togetherness, the resilience you have shown and the sense of community that has been so evident. Michael D. Higgins also spoke to students about the threat of global hunger, food security and his recent meetings in Senegal with African leaders. He also spoke with groups of students from the school's student council and the Green School Committee. A guard of honour representative of the many class groups affected by the Creaslot tragedy led President Higgins as he concluded his visit. The President will visit the Northlands Addiction Centre in Derry this evening before attending the President's Cup final at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium.
A human rights consultant and Effective Blocks campaigner in Donegal says the impact of mica and other deleterious materials has had a serious impact on the mental health of homeowners and their families. A survey previously conducted by the Mica Action Group revealed that 85% of people develop mental health issues after discovering their property was affected by defective blocks. Mary T. McBride says as recently as today, the United Nations was pointing out the deficiencies in Ireland's mental health provision, especially for children. She told today's 9 till noon show that it is clear more resources are vital.
And let's not forget, it was just this morning that the United Nations Child Rights Committee has said it's seriously concerned, quote unquote, by Ireland's lack of and inadequate mental health services for children, noting that some of them are waiting for over a year. You know, a year is a long time for anyone, including an adult, to, you know, wait for desperately needed mental health support, you know, early intervention like talking therapies and that. Even just thinking about big mental health crisis we have here in Donegal is again linked to the whole mica issue and defective concrete homeowners. Remember, was it at the end of 2021, the Mica Action Group did a survey of homeowners and, I mean, it was just staggering. 96% had reported that they had, you know, what they would consider good mental health prior to discovering that they had defective concrete in their home. And afterwards, 84% now have mental health issues, with 25% suffering from depression. And they're, you know, through IFAN, you know, Initial Development Partnership and that, and DLDC, they have put out supports, mental health supports. But again, you know, they are there for people to reach out and that and others. But I just think there needs to be more resourcing.
The state bends before the powerful, but steam rules the voiceless. That's what a South Donegal deputy has told the Dáil during a debate on the nursing home charges and Disability Alliance charges. A recent report by the Attorney General highlighted weaknesses in the government's stance on Disability Alliance payments to people in residential care. Deputy Marion Harkin says there needs to be a greater balance between managing public funds and care.
The state has a duty to defend the public purse. But this case and many others I have seen show a state policy that bends before the powerful, those with wealth, with influence, with clout, like the banks and the church. But it steamrolls the individual, the voiceless, those without connections, those without power, and in this case, those in nursing homes or their families and people with disabilities. Minister, I've looked at the Attorney General's report and it speaks of scarce resources and hard choices. Yes, resources were scarce, but it's the job of government to ensure that scarce resources are distributed fairly to all its citizens. And this idea of hard choices, what the government took was the easy choice, the line of least resistance, to take money illegally from certain people and then defend that practice with the full weight of the state in courts. People sometimes use the term making hard choices as if it's somehow a noble and upright thing to do. But the state made the easy choice. It was a hard, hard choice for those who are disadvantaged. So, Minister, I hope you and your colleagues will reflect on this matter carefully and try to rebalance the rights of individuals and families with managing the public purse.
Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says more people should be questioning the decisions and the role of the Attorney General. He was also speaking in the Dáil during statements on the nursing home charges controversy after a report from the Attorney General. Deputy Pringle told the Dáil that the state had taken advantage of the most vulnerable in our society and then refused to give the appropriate redress when it was caught out. He said this raises serious questions.
We are seeing here yet another example of this state taking advantage of the most vulnerable in our society and then refusing to give the appropriate redress, if any redress at all, when caught out. The Attorney General's report suggests that not only is it acceptable to take money from the most vulnerable in Irish society, but the state is then somehow not legally required to give it back when they are caught. Unfortunately, it wouldn't be true to say that I'm surprised at the Attorney General's findings. However, I will say that I'm extremely disappointed. The report takes an incredibly narrow view, and I would question the view that the Attorney General has decided to take on this. I think we also need to question the role of the Attorney General, an unelected official who has unchallenged power across all government departments and often the final say on incredibly significant issues such as this. It is concerning to me that we don't question this role more, given the weight and power of its decisions. But then ministers need something to hide behind when they make a decision, and that's why we don't question it. His report states that the public interest, including protecting the taxpayer, was the only interest of the state, and that questions of intergenerational fairness also arise in circumstances where any redress must be funded from the taxes of a younger generation of workers. This completely ignores the fact that the younger generations have also suffered from this in trying to fund their parents' or grandparents' care, and it also calls into question the Attorney General's idea of fairness. Is fairness taking advantage of the vulnerable in our society and then calling this a legally sound decision? Because it seems to me that the Attorney General certainly thinks so, and therefore this government thinks so as well.
Recommendations to restore rail lines between Donegal and Derry, Mayo and Galway and Wexford and Waterford are all included in a new report before government. The journal reports the All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review proposes restoring the Athenry-Claremorris line, the Rosslare-Waterford line and building a new line between Derry and Donegal. The Transport Minister indicated his support for the redevelopment of older lines instead of turning them into greenways. Engineering Professor at Trinity College Dublin, Brian Caulfield, says the lines will be used for carrying freight initially.
Freight has huge emission profile in this country and we need to get more of it onto rail. And if we can connect those two ports using this rail line, fantastic. And that will really reduce our emissions profile. And freight is kind of the thing that nobody really talks about in terms of emissions, but it's massive. It'll do a lot more than cycleway.
The man charged with the murder of an Irish man in Australia will appear in court again in 7 weeks. Damien Conlon from Sligo was shot in New South Wales yesterday morning. 57-year-old Luke Simon was arrested at the scene and has since been formally charged with murder. Ben Fry, who is the Deputy Mayor of Bathurst Regional College in Australia, says the community is shocked.
Generally very safe and uneventful township near where I am, and a real shame to hear the passing of this man who is obviously a multinational coming over to Australia to start a life. It's an absolute shame and just shocking news coming out of over on New South Wales.
A new assistant Garda commissioner will come into force for the northwestern region tomorrow. Cleona Richardson will take up the role after serving over 30 years in Garda Síochána. Garda commissioner Drew Harris has welcomed her promotion, saying it will be of great benefit to the force. The new Ballyshannon Community Hospital is nearing completion. It's been confirmed that minor and outdoor works are planned for the coming weeks ahead of its expected completion in April. Deputy Frank Feehan says the opening of the hospital will ultimately help alleviate pressure on Letterkenny and Sligo University hospitals.
It's down now just to internal painting, furniture fitting and floor covering alongside testing of mechanical and electric equipment. And I'm delighted after some time that this is nearing completion. And this is great news for residents who receive a high standard of care in a homely and modern environment. And this is great for Ballyshannon and for the South Donegal, North Sligo, North Leitrim area. And I've been working very closely here with my local councillor colleague, Councillor Barry Sweeney, and all the stakeholders. And I'll press the HSC to expedite the handover phase after completion in April. And there'll be staff training and orientation. And I expect that, you know, we want to be patient relocated into community hospital as quickly as possible.
In terms of capacity, this will be great because we know that there is so much pressure on the hospitals at the minute to discharge patients, so this will hopefully relieve that.
Yeah, this is it's a fantastic modern community hospital, and as I said, serving the people, and it does take pressure off the A&E, certainly in Sligo and Letterkenny. They've gone through a very, very difficult time, and this is a chink of light in the future. But I think once this 80-bed hospital is up and running, you know, there can be a lot more that can be done from the hospital. And I'd be pursuing my colleague, the Minister for Health, to ensure that whatever possible is there regarding medicine and regarding opportunities, that Ballyshannon will avail of that.
People are being warned about scam callers pretending to be from the credit union. The Irish League of Credit Unions has issued a warning saying it would never contact someone by phone, text or email to ask them to verify their account details. It says the scam consists of a fraudster sending a text or making a phone call claiming to be from a credit union and informing the recipient that their account has been put on hold or locked. The ILCU says if anyone is in any doubt, they should contact their credit union directly.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. You'll find everything you need to stay motivated this year, in-store and online, with free next-day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Chris Ashmore.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with boxing, and Jason Quigley says he's really excited to start the next phase of his professional career on April the 1st at the National Stadium. The Donegal middleweight, who has had 19 victories and 2 defeats, will be the headline fight on the bill in Dublin as part of an elite sheer promotion. Denmark's Kim Poulsen, who has had 30 wins and 6 defeats, will provide the opposition for Quigley, who returns to the ring for the first time since he fought for the WBO title in November 2021. It'll be Quigley's first time to box as a professional in Ireland and his first bout on Irish soil in 10 years. Well, despite being out of the ring for a long period, Jason is looking forward to the event and is confident about his prospects.
I had to make sure that I was coming back for the right reasons. I had a lengthy spell out of the ring after my last fight. But I have took my time and I have been patient. I'm very confident in my ability. I'm very confident in the boxer that I am, the heights that I can reach. And I'm looking forward to getting into that ring now and putting on a clinical performance on the night and pushing on into my professional career even more.
In soccer, Finn Harps have announced that 2 players, striker Daniel Okwut and defender Ellis Farrar, are joining them on loan from Stockport County for the 2023 season. Harps begin their Division 1 campaign next Friday with a home game against Galway United. And the traditional curtain raiser ahead of the new SSE Airtricity League season is with us this evening as the President's Cup final takes place between last season's Premier Division winners Shamrock Rovers and the FAI Cup winners Derry City. Tonight's game at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium has a 7:45 start. Derry assistant manager Alan Reynolds is looking forward to the game, which he expects will be played at a high tempo.
It's a game we badly need, though, I'd feel, you know, because the tempo will be really high. all these pre-season games, they do me head in, you know, there's no bite to them and they're flat. And even when you're a manager and a coach there, you're looking to be motivated, and we will be on Friday.
Also tonight, Scottish Cup fifth round action, Hamilton meet Hearts, and in the Championship in England, it's Birmingham City against West Bromwich Albion. In the Irish League Premiership, Larne take on Glenavon, and Newry City are in action against Carrick Rangers. Donegal players Amber Barrett and Ciara Grant have been included in the Republic of Ireland squad for a training camp in Spain that will play a key part in their preparation for the FIFA Women's World Cup in the summer. But there's no place for Inish Owen's Roma McLaughlin, who recently signed a pro contract with the Danish side Fortuna Koring. There are first-time call-ups for two players who have received FIFA international clearance, defender Aoife Mannion and forward Marisa Shiva. Shiva, who qualifies through her Donegal grandmother and Tyrone grandfather, plays her football with Washington Spirit. Meanwhile, Republic of Ireland manager Vera Poe says it's a shame that the FAI couldn't secure the Aviva Stadium for their World Cup send-off. Her side will play France in a friendly at Tala Stadium on July the 6th instead, as the Aviva is undergoing pitch maintenance. And speaking of Vera Poe, well, she will be one of the guest speakers at the Women's Football Conference hosted by the FAI this weekend in Letterkenny. Women's football is riding high, of course, at the moment after the Irish ladies qualified for the World Cup with the help of that great goal from Amber Barrett. Coaches from all over the country will be in Donegal for this Women's Football Conference, the event taking place at the Radisson Blue Hotel here in Letterkenny. In rugby, Conor Murray has trained with the rest of the Irish squad ahead of tomorrow's Six Nations meeting with France. His participation had been in doubt after his father was involved in a road collision. Murray was said to be in good form at today's captain's run at the Aviva Stadium. And Ireland's under-20s will look to make it two Six Nations wins from two when they face their French counterparts tonight. Kick-off at a sold-out Musgrave Park is at 8 o'clock. And back to boxing, and the Irish Amateur Boxing Association has joined USA Boxing in boycotting this year's World Championships. The IABA council members voted 15-5 in favour of skipping the World Championships in New Delhi next month and the men's equivalent in Tashkent in May. In a statement, the IABA say International Boxing Association practices and activities are not of the standard required to secure the sport's future. The world governing body has already been stripped of organising rights for next year's Olympics. And the iconic Northwest 200 and all other motorcycle road races in Northern Ireland have been cancelled this year. The soaring cost of public liability insurance led to the decision being taken by the Motorcycle Union of Ireland. Meanwhile, due to the ongoing insurance issues being encountered by Motorcycling Ireland, the governing body of motorcycle sport in Ireland, Mondello Park, has issued a statement today expressing its regret in announcing that they will be unable to run any motorcycling events in Kildare during 2023. And finally, on the equestrian front, Donegal bred horse Pacino Amiro carried Bertram Allen to victory last night in Florida. The pair claimed the first place ribbon in the international ranking class at the five-star show. And that, Michaela, is your evening sport.
Thanks, Chris. For weather now, largely dry tonight with just patches of light rain or drizzle, rather cloudy with some mist or hail fog, and lowest temperatures of 5 to 8 degrees. In the closing headlines this evening, President Michael D. Higgins has paid tribute to the tenacity, courage, determination, resilience, resolve and strength that the pupils and staff of Mulroy College have shown in the aftermath of the Creaslaw tragedy. The President visited the school earlier today and he is now due to travel to Derry for a number of engagements. A human rights consultant and Effective Blocks campaigner in Donegal says the impact of mica and other deleterious materials has had a serious impact on the mental health of homeowners and their families. A survey previously conducted by the Mica Action Group revealed that 85% of people develop mental health issues after discovering their property was affected by defective blocks. The state bends before the powerful but steamrolls the voiceless. That's what a South Donegal deputy has told the Dáil during a debate on the nursing home charges, Disability Alliance and Disability Alliance charges. And a new Assistant Garda Commissioner will come into force for the North Western region tomorrow. Cleona Richardson will take up the role after serving over 30 years in Garda Síochána. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Nate with Colm Fercher, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
Seamur Mahas with Colm Fercher and Shaw. Fogarty Targomay and Commissioner Changa, Ronan O'Donnell, the Capu Mar Commissioner on Furbridge the Man, Curran Commissioner Falcher, Riven Ogurch, August Lorche, Howard, Offig and Commissioner Changa, Scotty Shea, the V in the Commissioner, Nura Rahisha, and Monahud, Kurami Nua, Ilar Namisa Shaw. Beshanos Nefersage, Erjul, Ejurif Carhu Las Fee, August Kuigal Las Fee, and Den V Shaw. Agus Antarctus avis eg ober ego farciat la common culturha vic racten don ela a ractalim liana. Se privaim shanos na fersage na jasha horts the rini, kaluru yanu savras changa, culturs agus alin tradition to ningel, gzid the lajru igahar avail firstia. Lelenin jarri shartinia be vlashu agus lergas a dorch, tradition duhusaha na chira. Ejur a raniacht dausa agus agal of bircha scaliacht agus aralia. Be ro a vuachuri o arachtus nasana I lahar, comai la carja arachtus comai a ranfarcha le lin na fela. Ta emacti fui lai fogarha ig servishi lorlan ghuna nal la da ghele gori ta comortas scrif narachta emartus fakal sholta la hai fwaishti bonskala Igor Lakostia Slantia, Common Luchla Scale, Runanal. Be ear captain, August Corlior Hunde, Anthony Molloy, if we agle of O'Connor O'Gallagher, Eglorlan Fobli Gidor, Erin Darnalas Feedan Visha, August Tabarth Aquini, Bonskala, Kemsiha, Cutter or Foyle, the Wunchery, August Tishmahori, Erlina Siranashke, Gaholas, Exceve, Nalorlanya, Runanal. August the Cafe Follanya, Club Badminton, August Rangana, Takiok the Foluma, the Galti Bonskola, a mask emakti anyari ata Bartihe eg onid niv Fodrig Dor, come out Laclar Takiokta, the Fashina Boil Alpha Eri As and Tobak, August Kursa, Lahishi, Lohalyaha, a Hossage, Augustan Kursi, Shinsir Nashke, Tashinik Toshard Gan Will. Gaholus Eg Onadni Padrig Dor. Shin Mohodja Eligolier Slan August Banacht.
The obituary notice is for this Friday evening, February the 10th. The death has occurred of Pauline McGranahan, née Barker, UK, 32 Wolfetone Place, Glencar, Letterkenny, formerly Perth, Australia. Reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest at Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 3:30 until 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, concluding with removal to St Junan's Cathedral for reception prayers at 5:00. Reposing overnight for 11:00 Requiem Mass on Monday morning, which can be viewed online on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Cornwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to the Donegal Alzheimer's Society or St Junan's Nursing Home Residents Comfort Fund, Letterkenny, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Molly Harvey, St Peter's Park, Greencastle. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed tomorrow. House private, please, today. The death has taken place of Tommy McGettigan, Ballyar, Remelton. Remains will repose at his home from 6:00 this evening. Funeral mass on Sunday afternoon at 3:00 in St Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Tully Cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Jimmy Vicky O'Gallagher, Stramarching, Derrybeg. His remains will repose at the family home today until 8:00 and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 8:00. Rosary each evening at 8:00. Funeral Mass on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Chapel, Derrybeg, with interment afterwards in Maharagalm Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice. The death has taken place of Hugh O'Donnell, Dunluce Gaedor. His remains will repose at his home tomorrow from 4 o'clock until rosary at 9 o'clock and again on Sunday from 3 o'clock until 6:30, followed by removal to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluce, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Monday morning at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Kathleen Lapsley, 36 Ardmullion Convoy, formerly of 297 St Junan's Terrace, Raphoe. Her remains are reposing at her brother-in-law Tony Sweeney's home at 36 Ardmullion Convoy. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in St Junan's Cathedral, Raphoe, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. All floral tributes welcome, house private please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of John McCormick at Key Street, Mobile. John's remains are reposing at his home. Family time please from 11 o'clock tonight. Funeral mass will take place tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, Mobile, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Nazareth House Fawn Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of May Brown, née Ross, Creetland, St Johnston. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St Bethan's Church, St Johnston at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers please to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time please from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has occurred of Katrina Redmond, 72, Ashlawn, Letterkenny. Reposing at her late residence today until 9 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrea and Letterkenny for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed online at the Church of the Irish Martyrs YouTube channel, followed by burial in Cornwall Cemetery. Family time please on the morning of the funeral. Flowers welcome or donations if desired to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. And the death has taken place of Eilish Carol McBride, the Chaparral Rod Road Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Convoy, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family time please from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. All flowers welcome. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.